All right, come on in, your Bible. We are in Genesis 2 this morning, and Michelle is going to read the Word. Two things we're trying to be about as a church is want to be a place that you can come and hear the Word of God taught, but we're also trying to build community and really know one another. So I feel like just a great way to do that is having our own members read the Word to start us off. So Michelle, take us away.
Good morning, everyone. We are so excited to have you all here. We are reading from Genesis chapter 2. We are starting in verse 5, reading through a few verses and then skipping and reading some more. Okay, so verse 5, when no bush of the field was yet in the land and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord had not caused it to rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground, and a mist was going up from the land and was watering the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And going to verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. This is the word of the Lord.
Oh. All right, well, we're in a series called God's Mission, Our Purpose, and what we're doing is we're looking at how the things that God calls us to do, it gives us shape and purpose for how to live our lives. One of the things that you'll hear a fair amount today is just people talking about how there's just a lack of purpose among society in general today. Well, as we look at the culture struggling with that, we want to make sure that we know God has created us for a reason and for a purpose. And when we throw ourselves into the purpose that God has created us, there's just an incredible richness that comes to us as we do that. But a lot of times, as we talk about purpose, it needs to be a bit nuanced. As I think about this series, I remembered a friend of mine several years ago. He was fairly new in his career, young in his career, and was doing commercial printing for a company, and was having a fair amount of success in it. He was good at it. And as he was doing this, one night, his church had a missionary come in to share about what he was doing in other parts of the world. My friend was a fairly new believer as well. So as he went and started hearing these stories of this missionary talk about being in a third world country and drilling wells so that tribes could have water, and then they were coming in with doctors and nurses, and they were providing medical care and just doing a variety of things like that, these tribes were just overwhelmed by it, and they would come to the missionary and be like, why are you doing this? What led you people to come here and help in this way? And just provided a great platform for them to start sharing about how the love of Jesus has changed their lives. As they came to know Jesus, they came to know the love of God, and they wanted to share that love with other people. And so my friend is hearing this, and he's just stirred and just starts thinking about being a missionary. And so after the session was over, he went up to the missionary and just started talking to him and said, you know what? I'm just so stirred by what you're doing. I'm a new believer. Man, I would love to give myself to missions. And the missionary heard him talk for a little bit and finally just stopped him and said, hey, man, look, you're thinking about what you're going to be able to do in 5, 10, 15, 20 years. You need to see that you're in missions right now. God has you where you are, and you just need to have your eyes open to how he can use you where you're at. And it was a really neat moment for my friend. He said, man, I was so stirred by that, and I started praying about how am I a missionary where I am in my work? So he started praying for opportunities to share his faith. And one day, his boss calls him and says, hey, man, I need to see you in my office. So my friend's like, man, this is awesome. I've been praying for opportunities to share the gospel. Man, my boss wants to talk. This is it. So he goes and sits down in his boss's office, and his boss starts talking to him and basically lays it out and says, look, man, you aren't meeting your quota. You are behind once again. If you don't get your backside in gear, you're fired. And all of a sudden, my friend realized, wait a minute. How does this work together? How am I called to be a missionary, and yet I've got all this other stuff that I need to do? Is it even possible? Was that missionary even right saying that I had a purpose of honoring God in the workplace? What does it look like? Well, I don't know if you've ever been in a similar place where maybe you feel like you have a calling, maybe God's calling you to do something, but things happen and you're just not quite sure what it looks like. Well, this is a passage of Scripture that gives us just an amazing picture of what it looks like to be God's missionaries, of what it looks like to be God's priest in the world. Scripture says that he is building a kingdom of priests. So if we're called to be a kingdom of priests, what in the world does that look like? What does it look like in my job? What does it look like in other places of life? Well, I want to look at four ways that this passage helps us to see how we can live for significance, of how we're called to be priests in the world, and how we can make a difference for the kingdom of God. Are you ready? Are you ready? All right, just making sure you're with me. Okay, so first thing I want to look at is how one of the ways that we can minister to others is through what I call just a ministry of common grace. I realize there's a few things that we're going to have to unpack on that. First, let's just talk about how we're called to be ministers. When you first read, actually we have this on the screen, verse 2:15, it says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it." So you may see this, and the first thing you think, well, it just feels like Adam is called to be a farmhand, just out there till the garden, like that's it. And yes, he's called to do that, but there's a lot more significance going on in this passage than that. There's several things to see in this passage that help you to see, wait, this isn't just an ordinary garden. There's something greater going on. The name of this garden, the Garden of Eden, Eden means delight, paradise. That's how some translations translate the Garden of Paradise. We also see that, so we see this garden, it's a beautiful spot in the world. God has put not just their needs, you know, there's all these trees for fruit. There's also gold and other things in this area. There are a lot of wonderful and precious things here. But even more, we start to see some things in this passage that we see this isn't just a garden, it's actually a temple. There's imagery used of this garden that is used of the later temples. And so one of those is Eden is in the east. All temples would be oriented towards the east. It was a pattern you see. We also see things like God meets with his people in this garden. And that's what we see with the fall. People are removed from the presence of God, but the later temples and tabernacles, that's where God met with his people. So it was a hope to regain what had been lost. Another thing you see here is the tree of life. The tree of life is in this garden. In later temples, it would be represented with the menorah, the candles, and various things like that. So you start to see the imagery is that this is a temple. But one of the things that's significant is even those words where it says God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. The only time those words are used together is when it's referencing the work of priest in the temple. And so there's all this imagery that is helping us to see that Adam and Eve, they were placed in this garden, and yes, they were to work and cultivate the garden, but it is a temple of the Lord that they were supposed to be working on and cultivating. So if you think about that, to work, you know, means to cultivate something. Keep literally means to guard, to protect. And so that's what they were to do. They're in this beautiful garden. If you've ever gardened, you know it takes a lot of work. You want it to look pretty. You want to make sure those flowers are getting what they need so that they can bloom. And you got to make sure it's protected. You know, the birds come in and eat your tomatoes. Like, you've got to protect those things. So if you want to have a beautiful garden, it takes work. It takes protection. And that is what Adam and Eve were called to do. And so one of the things that you see with this is that their work, it entailed a degree of what I would call common grace. They are ministering God's grace to other people. Well, how are they doing that? Well, if you think about it, part of the beauty of this garden, the goodness of it, the ability to eat from it, right? That is God's common grace. A lot of times we talk about God's saving grace. Well, hey, when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, he forgives you for your sins. You experience the grace of God in the forgiveness of your sins. That's something very specific to those who trust in Christ as their Lord and Savior. But there's also the grace of God that all people experience. Every day you experience the grace of God. Every breath you take, that is his grace. We actually have a verse on the screen, Matthew 5:44. You want to talk about experiencing God's grace, God's love? Matthew 5:44, it says, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust." God is gracious to those who serve him, but he's also gracious to those who don't serve him. That is just God's common grace. Every day we have, it is a gift from God. It is part of his grace to us. And so if you think about this verse and you think about just God's grace that you'd be able to plant seeds, God's grace that you're able to water those seeds, God's grace that those seeds begin to sprout, God's grace that you can harvest, God's grace that you can take what you've harvested, sell it, and then go buy a car, go buy a place to live, go buy, you know, a pizza night for the family, whatever it may be. Maybe it's remember one year, we had a year as a family where we realized we needed to add a line item to the budget that was emergency room visits. Praise God for emergency rooms, right? But we just realized, man, we're spending money here. Let's just go ahead and make this an item. That is life with four kids. That's God's common grace that you can go to a doctor and he can help heal those bones. He can wrap them and do the things that you need. This is God's common grace. And so as we think about this garden and the work that they were doing, just the beauty of it, participating in it, eating of it, that is God's common grace. As you think about your daily life, a lot of your daily life, it is ministering God's common grace to other people. My friend was in the commercial printing business, so he was helping businesses just think through communication strategies, think through slogans that would be catchy, putting it on material that could be printed and distributed. And if they were able to do that, their business thrived. Their business thrived because of what my friend was doing. And so you think about your life. Maybe you are a teacher in a middle school. You are bringing kids in, you're trying to make sure your classroom, it's oriented so that they can pay attention, right? It's oriented so that they come in and they want to learn. Maybe you're a cook. Your job is to make good food so people come in and they experience the grace and love of God. Isn't that amazing to think about? Like, you might be able to do work that when people see it, they praise God. Maybe it's being an electrician. A lot of times if you have trouble seeing God's grace in your work, just think about when it all goes wrong. I put up a new ceiling fan in our house a couple weeks ago. It was from one of my son's room, and I did the wiring wrong. And so you turn it on at the light switch, and it's on. Fan's on, light's on. You go and you pull the things that are supposed to turn the light up. They didn't work. So I miswired it, and so it was just on all the time. And I looked at it and said, "Hey, you live in this house? We're just going to, it's kind of good enough for a little while, all right? We'll figure it out later, but this is good enough," right? That doesn't fly when you're working for somebody else or if you're doing something that, you know, hey, if this isn't wired correctly, our office can't work, right? And so when you know how to wire things, when you know how to do electricity, that's God's common grace. Maybe it's providing safety procedures for your office. That's, people are experiencing the grace of God because of what you are doing. And so as we think about this, this gives us an image that it helps us to see that everything that we do, it matters, right? It matters. It blesses other people. It honors the Lord so that when we are doing work, whether it's an electrician wiring something or a president, a CEO running his company, others are experiencing the grace of God. That is significant. If it's going out doing farm work, milking cows, you do it to the glory of God. Like, it matters. It matters because it honors the Lord, but also matters because it blesses other people. And so we don't want to think that part of life is disconnected from our faith. We don't want to think about our work, the thing that we do the majority of our time, is just irrelevant to the kingdom of God. No, when we come to serve God, serving God, it invests everything that we do with meaning and significance. It's an opportunity to honor the king. That changes everything. And so this passage, we see, man, there's something significant to what we do every day. We can extend, we are agents of God's grace. And other people can experience God's grace because of what you're doing. So that's the first thing to see, is that there is a ministry of common grace. We all do that. There's also a second part that I want to talk about that is very important as well. And this is a ministry of the word. Ministry of the word. It's very interesting. You know, Adam, he is placed in the middle of this garden. And in the middle of Adam's world and calling, it's not himself, but it's the presence of God. That's what's most important to him. You've got to remember that as you're out doing your work, just getting your work done. That's not the most important thing. It's being in the presence of God. That's what you're created for. That's what we're called to live for. And that's what Adam's called to live for. And one of the things that we're going to see is that Adam and Eve, their failure, it wasn't a failure to understand modern agricultural technique, was it? It wasn't a failure to download the latest app and make sure they're up to date on things. Their failure was a failure with the Word of God. They failed to heed God's Word. They had one command, right? One command, like get it right. And they failed. They blew it. They messed up. Their failure in their purpose in life was a failure with the Word of God. They didn't look to God. They didn't heed His command. They didn't do what they were called to do, and they suffered for it. And so it's a reminder for all of us that the Word of God is to have a central place in our lives. If we value the presence of God, then the Word of God is going to have a place in our lives. If God's Word doesn't have a place in your life, then let me tell you, what that is saying is you don't value the presence of God. You are disinterested in Him. If you want to take your walk with God seriously, you've got to take His Word seriously. We look in this passage, verse 16, it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man." God gave the man a great suggestion, didn't He? Is that what it said? God gave the man a great option. Thank you. Yeah, right, it's not, hey, Adam, let me give you option A and here's option B. No, he's commanding him. He's saying, let me just read it. "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good, don't eat. If you eat it, you will die." How often do we treat God's commands like a suggestion, like an option for life? That led to Adam and Eve's failure, and it will lead to our failure as well. So often we fail in private long before we fail in public. Adam and Eve, they failed in private. They failed in their walk with God. And so this shows us that some of the greatest work we do is not simply just improving others' environment. It's not just being good people. It is ministering the Word of God. That's what we're called to do. And because one of the things that we see is that people are brought in to a relationship with God through what Jesus Christ has done for them. The only way we know that, the only way we understand it is with words, right? We've got to use words to share that message. I can be a fantastic plumber, but that's not necessarily going to help people understand the gospel, right? I've got to use words. I've heard some people say, heard it put, it's like, you know, you've maybe heard the expression, it's like preach the gospel and use words if necessary. Anybody ever heard that? That's a great saying to remind people that we preach the gospel in all that we do. It's a great reminder of how we live. It matters. It says something. But it's also like, wait, what do you mean if necessary? It is absolutely necessary to use words. It's like saying, hey, call me and use numbers if necessary, right? It's the same thing. I can't call you without using numbers, and I can't share the gospel with you without using words. I've got to use words to share the gospel with you, and that's one of the things that we are called to do. Because we see Adam and Eve, they blew it. Adam failed. God gave His commands to Adam. Adam was called to lead his family in knowing the Word of God, and he failed in it. Guys, you were called to lead your families to know the Word of God. How are you doing in that? Is that a priority for you? We want to build ourselves around the Word of God. Adam and Eve failed at that. Death came. Death came because they rejected God. But the neat thing is we continue to see God's love. God continues with his people. He continues to love them and provide for them. He'll end up sending his son, Jesus Christ, to the cross to die for their sins so that they can be forgiven, so that they can regain their access to God's presence. It comes through Jesus, and that's something that we have to share. That's something that we have to share with other people. And that's something, as we think about our calling as priests in the world, that's how people are coming back and having access with God. It's something that we've got to share. We've got to talk about it. You know, it's interesting because common grace is so important. Common grace, it's often the foundation that we build that a credible and caring profession of faith can be made on, right? Like if I come in to do contract work on your house, and I'm supposed to be like redoing your kitchen, and I'm not putting things in the right place. The wind is here, but it was supposed to be over here, and it's crooked and it's jagged, and you know, instead of things looking nice, it looks terrible. Are you going to care about anything that I have to offer to you? Not at all. You're going to be like, get out of my house, right? I want you gone. That's what I want right now. But when we come in, and you know the difference of when you have somebody that has a conviction about what they're doing, and that they want to do it well, and they want to do it well, not just, you know, when you're watching them, but they're just through and through, they're trying to do it well. Like, those are people, it's just awesome to be around, and you're like, hey, why do you do what you do? That's essentially what was happening with that missionary, right? People are watching them come in and change their village. And they're like, why are you doing this? It was the fact that the common grace was present that they could then share the word of God with them. And that's exactly how it works in our lives. Oftentimes, as we're ministering common grace, we can begin to share the word with other people. We can begin to tell them our why. Why do you do that? Well, it's because of Jesus Christ. It's because I've encountered the grace of God, and I want others to know that. I want you to see it in everything that I do. You know, this is what God calls us to do, and we have to use words to express that. And so as we understand what's going on with Adam and Eve, as we understand what God is calling them to do, you know what, we start to see, man, this feels a lot like another commission that God gave his people, right? We have that on the screen, the Great Commission. This is after Jesus is raised from the dead. He comes to his disciples and he tells them, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the Great Commission, right? That's what we're all called to do. So if you're a Christian, you've got to remember that, again, this isn't just a suggestion, right? This isn't just an option. No, this is something that is to define God's people. If you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Christ, your job is to make disciples. Your job is to share the word of God with other people. Tell them all that I've done. Tell them all that I've commanded you. That is a lifelong pursuit. But that's something that it gives shape and meaning to who we are. It gives meaning to our lives. All of a sudden, we have a purpose that goes well beyond just building widgets, right? Now, we can build widgets to the glory of God. Let's have them, you know, the best widgets. But it also means that if that's all we do, we've fallen short. There's to be an aspect of our lives that we are sharing the word of God with others, that we are centering our lives on that, and that we are seeking to tell others about it. I remember a few years ago, I had a friend, and he was a manager, had a team of people that he managed, and he's one of these guys that just was wired tight, man, just, you know, loved to perform and perform with excellence, and he got saved, and he came to faith in Christ, and he started seeing, he's like, man, this is a gift God has given me. I love leading other people, I love helping others, but man, I'm starting to see where my leadership, it was just done out of anger and just, you know, just trying to goad people into doing what they're doing. And he said, man, I started understanding my heart. I started reading the word of God and understanding some of my gifts, but also some of my weaknesses and where I fall short. And he's like, man, as I started to understand my heart, I started realizing I am my own worst enemy. And he said, but it's awesome because I'm starting to see the solution to those problems. And what started blowing him away was that he started caring more about his team. He started caring more about the people that he was under. And he's like, you know, I always wanted them to do what I needed them to do. But I just started realizing that where I can help them, because oftentimes they are their own worst enemy, where I can share God's word with them, where I can, you know, start to look at their performance and, hey, you're struggling here, but it connects to this. He started realizing that he could be a more effective manager. And he was careful, you know, he knew he was in a corporate world and couldn't always come and, hey, the Bible says this. But he realized that oftentimes he could just say what the Bible says and not quote it. And people would they were like, man, that's deep, that's profound. And then as he did that, they started wanting to know more, and he started being able to share his faith with other people. He realized that he was having a significant impact on his team as well as the whole company. That's somebody that, man, you start to get it. You start to see the grace of God working in your life. You start to see how God changes you. And when you start to experience God working in your heart, it's hard. You can't look out and just ignore that in other people. He couldn't look out and just see the problems. He started seeing, man, what they need is Jesus. And that's the evidence of when God starts working in your heart, right? When God starts doing stuff in your life, you just want to share it with others. You want to help others see how Jesus is changing you from the inside out. It's not just this, oh man, I've got to do this. I've got to be this way, or so-and-so is not going to be happy. If I don't do this, mom's going to be mad. No, it's like, man, I love the Lord. And the more I have of him, the more I want him. That's what Jesus has for us. And it creates these opportunities to have incredible purpose in all that we do. You know, you start to realize that as a parent, like, yes, you're a parent. Yes, your job is to keep your kids alive, right? That's always been my goal. Like, let's try and keep them alive. You try and provide ways for them to have an education. You try and provide ways for them to learn. But you want to bring the Word of God to bear. How are you doing bringing the Word of God in your parenting? Maybe think about it in your role as an employee. Are you bringing the Word of God to bear in that area? Maybe you think about being a grandparent. Hey, grandparents, you are called to bring in the ice cream, right? You are called to bring in the goodies and all those fun times. And that's God's grace. But how are you doing sharing the Word of God with your kids, with your grandkids? Because if all you're doing is just, hey, here's a lot of nice things, but you neglect the Word of God, we've missed it, right? We can do some great achievements. We can gain the whole world and forfeit our souls, right? There's something far better. And we've got to see that. So you know what? Sometimes people, they so emphasize God's common grace that they totally miss the Word of God. Sometimes we so emphasize the Word of God that we miss common grace, right? Like you show up in that village, you're like, hey, here's the Word of God. And they're like, well, we are starving and dying of malnutrition. You're like, all I've got is the Word. Right? Can we hold those both together? We want both those. We want to see that our calling in life is to be ministers of God's common grace, but ministers of the Word as well. Oftentimes, you know, what we hear in secular society is like, hey, just go be good people and, like, leave all the Jesus aside. No, we can't do that. That is essential to who we are. And if we want to see people come on fire for who God has created them to be, it's only going to come by them understanding the Word of God. So we can't neglect that. Adam and Eve failed because they failed with the Word of God. What place does God's Word have in your life? I want you to think about that and reflect on that question. Do you lack purpose? Do you lack significance? It's going to begin with you reorienting your life around what God has called you to do. Let me mention a third one from this. As we think about just having purpose and significance in life, another way that we can minister is that we minister as a church. We minister as a church. You're not just alone in life, right? It gets lonely. If you're the only employee for a company, you're looking around, you're like, man, it's kind of depressing. Like, what am I doing here, right? Well, sometimes in our calling to be missionaries, our calling to be priests, we got to remember that we're not alone. Sometimes we disconnect. People will disconnect from the church. I don't know many people that are thriving in their ministry to others and they're disconnected from the church. It's like saying, hey, my phone is thriving. I never plug it in. It's just going to die at some point, right? Your phone is not made to go. It needs recharging. God made us to need recharging. God made us to need other people. We need encouragement. We need sharpening. And that's what the church is called to be and do. You know, in this passage, it's the first time in all creation we keep seeing God. God creates and he says, and it was good. And it was good. This is the first time you see something was not good. And it's when the man was all alone. So God makes woman for the man. And what you see is they are dependent on each other. In order to go do what God calls them to do, they are dependent on one another. They can't do it by themselves. They need one another, and so also in life. That's true in marriage. It's also just true in life. To accomplish things, we need other people. God gives different gifts to his people that bring shape to the body. Look at 1 Corinthians 4:10. This is neat as we think about our gifts. It says, as each, I think we have this on the screen, 1 Peter 4:10. As each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. First of all, just think about that. Your gifts, you are stewarding the grace of God. That's what that verse says. You are bringing the grace of God to other people. Whoever speaks is one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength God supplies, in order that in everything, being an electrician, being a CEO, being a cook, whatever it may be, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So we see that we're called to do that, but we also see how in the body of Christ, even just society in general, we need people with different gifts. And in the church, we see that different people, we come together with various gifts in order to strengthen and build up the body. That's what God calls us to do. It's also interesting, Exodus 9:6, he says, you shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. Doesn't just say, I'm going to make one priest, right? Doesn't say, hey, you're going to be, no, it's God's intent is that we be a part of a community that is working to honor him and extend his purposes in the world. One of the things that is really neat about this imagery of the garden is if you think about creation, you think God created the world and he put Adam and Eve, he put them in this garden. So in all of the created, in all the world, there's this one spot in the world in which God, he makes a garden, he calls Adam and Eve to cultivate that garden, to be there in his presence. And if you think about the cultural mandate, Genesis 1:26, to go and have dominion, to multiply all over the earth, the cultural mandate, coupled with what we see here in Adam and Eve, is that it would seem that Adam and Eve's calling was to make the entire world the garden. They were called to make the entire world the place that God's presence dwelled. That was their work. That's what they were called to do. And so they're in this nice, pleasant garden, and at some point, they were going to have to go out into the outer, dark, and chaotic parts of the world to tame it, to make it into the garden. And so God may have you in places in life that feel dark and chaotic and crazy, and I don't always want to be here. How are you going to prove faithful there? You're only going to prove faithful in those places when you have a center that grounds you, that holds you, that is sharpening you, that is helping you know what God calls you to do. You're not going to be effective way out there when you're not being built up. You got to have a center. And that's what God calls us all to be, a part of a church, part of a church body in which we are using our gifts to strengthen the body. We're using our gifts to honor him collectively. We're trying to be a place that people can come and hear about the grace of God, can come and hear what Jesus has done for them. That's our job as a church. We as a church want to go out and share common grace and the word of God with other people. And you can't do that if you don't have a church, a place that is strengthening you and helping you. And so we see ways that we benefit from being in a church body. We also see responsibilities that we have. If you're a Christian, you're called to take on responsibilities in the church of God. A lot of times we just think about just being consumers. Hey, I need this, this, and this. Give it to me, give it to me, give it to me. That's the consumer mentality. When we start taking ownership and saying, hey, this is my church. I want to own it. I want to be here so that other people can come in and receive as well. I want to give. I want to help. That changes us, and that helps us to see that there's purpose in life. As a church community, we have a calling that we're trying to spur one another on. If you try and go at it alone, you're not going to go very far. There's an old, I think it's an African proverb. It says, hey, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, you what? Go together. You go fast, go alone. You want to go far, go together. If you're going to, the Christian life, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And if we're going to go far, we need to go together. That means you need other people, and that means they need you. Sometimes we just come in, we're all aware of what I need. I need this, I need that. Are you aware of what the people around you need? Are you coming with an awareness of, hey, how can I serve? How can I lay down my life for other people? I love other people laying down their life for me, right? You know, I love being on the couch and, hey, buddy, you know, go get me a drink from the refrigerator. Hey, somebody, I can't find the remote. Go grab it, bring it to me, right? And I am a black hole of want, right? So next time dad's on the couch doing that, be like, hey, dad, you are being a black hole of want, right? Right? Can I get amen, anybody? Yeah, all the ladies said amen. That's right. Okay, we need times to recharge, but we have to be servants. We're called to be servants. We're called to lay down our lives. We're called to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters in Christ. This is one of the ways we see that. We can minister. So as we come to church, just remember, man, some days I come in, it's like, this is a reminder that I've got a greater purpose in life. Man, it's about ministering the word of God to others. It's about reaching other people. That's one way to do it. Let me also share another way. We minister through the fruit of work. As you think about your work, God provides for you to extend God's common grace. We'll also think about we benefit from our work. As we steward that work, it's an opportunity to steward the blessings God gives to us. One of the ways we do that, Leviticus 27:30, it says, every tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the chairs, it is the Lord's. So Adam and Eve, they were in this garden. They were to cultivate it. As they cultivated the garden, they were able to eat of it. They were able to bless others. They were also called to take a portion of it and take it. And this is what sustained the temple. It's what sustained the temple work. And so we see that that's true of our lives as well. As we think about our work, we get the fruit of work, and it's a way that we can extend the church, extend the influence of the church. Churches are dependent on its people helping, you know, giving towards it and enabling it to function, to minister, and to do all the work that it's called to do. We've got to see that that's a part of our calling. And also when you see it, you know, we're in a culture that's like, why would you ever give to church? Like, that's just crazy. Just go get a bigger car, get nicer stuff. And as believers, we want to say, no, this is part of being faithful to God means being faithful with my finances. And I want to honor him in it. It's another reminder that there's a greater purpose than what the world tells me. Because so many people are just out chasing the next big house, the big car, the big whatever, and they're as empty as can be. We've got to remind ourselves that, man, our life is life with God. Like, that's what really matters. And we want to honor him. And there's going to be times the idols of life creep in. And we can tell the idols of life when we're more willing to spend money on these things than to honor the Lord. That's when you know you have an idol. And so we also realize that there is something significant of our calling as God's people as we come together to honor him, to put him first, to encourage and sharpen one another. What we start to see is right here, from the very beginning, it's so neat as we talk about finding purpose in life and just how significant that is. And you don't have to go past the first two pages of the Bible and you start seeing how God has a rich purpose for us all. He has a rich calling and a calling that makes sense of some of the complexities that we feel in life. Do I need to be faithful with the Word of God? Yes, absolutely. Do I need to be faithful? My calling to be a good employee? Yes, absolutely. All of those things are there. And we see that right here in the beginning, God gives us a purpose. He gives us a purpose that makes sense of all the different parts of life. And more importantly, we see that, in fact, what God is giving us, it's not just a job, it's not just these other things, but he is giving us life itself. In the garden, Adam and Eve, they had everything they needed. And I wouldn't just say what they needed. It was beyond just their needs, right? God provided abundantly. But the greatest thing we need is access to God. He is life. And we find that in Jesus Christ. And when we find that in Christ, we start to see it just opens up just a vista of opportunities in life in which we start to see ways that we can honor God, in which we start to see ways that we can minister to other people. And it also helps us as we think about our lives individually, as we think about our lives as a church. Like, we want to send people out into the world, right? We want to send people out, be missionaries in those other parts of the world. But we also, man, you can't look at other parts of the world and then, like, look at Alfred and think, hey, we have no needs here, right? There are people who are dying and starving for truth and for life right here. We want to be faithful to do that. Our calling as a church is often both and. Do we go overseas or do we stay here? Yes, both of those, right? Do I minister God's common grace or I minister the word? Yes, both. We want to do all of that. But I just want you to see is that we're in this series just that God has an awesome plan for his people. And it is one that gives us meaning and significance and just a richness in life. That when you turn, if you turn away and walk away from God's word, you are walking into, it's just going to end up in meaninglessness and insignificant. It's only in God's word do we find some of those things that our hearts long for and yearn for. We all yearn to make a difference in the life of someone else. Well, what can be more significant than helping them to know their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? That's an amazing work to do. That is a priestly work, and that's what he calls each and every one of us to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your just a beautiful design. God, as we read these words and we see in Genesis 2, just that you knew what you were doing. And we trust you. We trust you, Lord. We see this and we want more of you. And God, we thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to do what our work could never have done. We failed in our work and we fail time and time again. We need a redeemer. And we just thank you that in Christ we have that redeemer. That he was the light of the world. He was the bread of life. God, we thank you for that. And I just pray for all of us. I pray for those who may be struggling of just feeling like they don't have significance. Maybe they feel like they're useless. God, I just pray that you would kindle something in their hearts, and that the more they see of your word, the more they would desire that. I pray maybe for those that have pushed you aside, Lord, that they would come back to you and see your way is better, that they would just humble themselves and recognize they need to submit to you and your purposes. And Lord, I just want to pray. Maybe there's some missionaries in here today that you're going to do a work in them and call them to go other places. Maybe there's people that you are calling them to make a bold stand for you as they lead a company or walk into their office place. God, I just pray that you would strengthen them. Actually, I want to pray for you. If you're in that place where you're like, man, I want to honor the Lord in my workplace. I want to be faithful as a worker. I just have a burden to make a difference there. Will you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you. Maybe you feel called to go out as a missionary. Let's just pray that God would stir that in us. God, I just thank you for those that are lifting their hands, just saying, man, I want to be used by you. God, I pray that you would just give them a growing desire for that, a growing desire to minister to others, a growing desire to step out in faith, and a growing desire to sacrifice for the sake of the gospel. I want to pray for that. And Lord, I just also pray you would provide opportunities. I want to pray that you would use their words, use their actions. May people ask, why are you doing that? May people ask to know more about them. And I just pray that as they speak, their words would have a weight, that their words would have an effect and a power. I pray that for us as a church, and I pray that for all those who are raising their hand. And God, we love you. We want to honor you more, and we want to know you more. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.